My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Good to have you with us right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Joining us now from our sister station, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, which you can listen to on the Odyssey app if you're not in the Baltimore area this Sunday or ever bumping around, is the co-host of the Vinny and Haney Show and from 10 to 2. And he's the former general manager of the Washington Redskins. You might remember the name, Vinny Serrato, and he's with us here on the Team 980. Vinny, it's Chris Russell here, Linnell Willingham over there. How are you?
Vinny,
thanks for doing this.
Go on, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah. So you've been at this for a while on the radio side. You were the GM here my first year on the beat, and I've caused a lot of hell around here, Vinny. And I've seen a lot of bad football. Just before we get into the matchup, like, are you still having fun with the radio thing? Like, do you still love it? I mean, do you still miss the NFL? Like, how do you kind of approach that whole part of your life as it's evolved?
Well, the thing about it is I go out to the Ravens, all the OTAs, mini camps, training camps. I go to practice, you know, do the pregame for the Ravens and stuff. So, yeah, I get all my NFL, and my one son is, you know, a hockey player, so I travel around a lot. He plays at Penn State, and they played their last week in Alaska, and I'm going up to Quinnipiac on Saturday. They play up there, so. Yeah, so I'm spending a lot of time hockey-wise, you know, is what I'm doing a lot now.
Enjoying life away sometimes from the grind of the NFL, which you know, and also helps to cover a stable franchise.
It definitely had a changing of the guard, so to speak, going from Washington and then working up in Baltimore, whether it's on the radio side or not.
Like a lot of guys, like Chris Horton. Chris Horton was a former Redskin, you know.
He was a dog, really.
Yep. And then, you know, well, Todd Monken was a GA at Notre Dame when I was coaching there. So,
right, okay.
And then, I get along with all the coaches there.
You drafted Horton, right? I remember correctly.
Fifth round pick out of UCLA. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I like going over there because I like all the coaches, and Bisciotti's awesome.
One of the absolute best. Vinny, me and Chris Russell, we're like the odd couple here on the Team 980. Chris is early 50s, just turned 50. I am 26, so I have not seen the prosperity of this franchise. And your time while here in Washington was, respectfully speaking, like, it was some of the most miserable years of my life as a fan. Do you understand, now that you are on the radio side of things, just how bad it was while you were here in D.C.? And I mean that in the most gracious and humble way possible. Obviously, we appreciate you giving us time, but just getting into the weeds of how your time went here.
Well, I mean, you make it sound like we didn't win a game. I mean, we won the NFC East in 99, and when Joe was there, we were pretty good too. So, you know, I don't think it was as dire as you're saying.
Well, forgive him, Vinny. He's a little misguided.
2007, Vinny, was the first year I really watched and knew what I was talking about.
Exactly.
I'm 26.
Exactly. I mean, you did have some success here, and obviously
I'm not trying to take any credit away, obviously.
Everybody knows your hands were tied, obviously, with Dan Snyder. We'll just move on, you know, from all that because, you know, I think it's been proven nobody could win under Dan Snyder. So, period. Whether it be head coach, whether it be, you know, general manager, whatever it might be. I mean, it just was the way it was. But you said, you mentioned you love Steve Bisciotti. I think you would probably like Josh Harris, the new owner of the Commanders here. What is it about Bisciotti, not from a relationship standpoint, Vinny, but from a leadership, from an organization, from the top of the pyramid standpoint, that allows everybody there to be what they are and to be so successful?
Oh, that was what was similar about San Fran when I was at the Niners, is everybody got to do their job, and nobody tried to do anybody else's job. So whatever, like in San Fran, I was in charge of all the personnel, so nobody interfered with me doing all the personnel decisions and stuff. And I think, you know, and I think Harbs gets to coach the football team. You know, Eric gets to run the football team. So I think that's the thing. And I think that's why, and you look at the other thing is with them is stability. I mean, Harb's been there, what, like 16 years?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so I think that's a big thing about it. And Steve's not in the office that much. Steve's right. not around that much. I mean, he may talk to him on the phone, but he's not in there all the time, you know, wondering what's going on all day long.
Doesn't always work that way, does it, Vinny?
I was about to say, yeah.
It does not.
No, it does not. We were talking in about the matchup coming up Sunday before we brought you on, Vinny, and I was getting on Chris. I think one of the laziest narratives out there right now in pro sports is that Baltimore's quarterback, Lamar Jackson, can't win from within the pocket. Not only do I think he can win from within the pocket, I think he's one of the best throwers of the football in the NFL. Getting to cover him on a day-to-day basis, how are the vibes like up there in Baltimore in terms of the fan base and how they feel about, you know, his performance here and how they haven't been able to kind of get over the hump, so to speak, since he's been in town?
Well, they won in the regular season. Then last year they made it to the AFC Championship game, and that's the last thing Lamar has to do. He's won two MVPs, and he's on pace right now again, you know, to win another one. That's how he's playing. So the big thing with Lamar is, what do you do in the playoffs?
Yeah.
That's the big thing with Lamar, and that's the thing that he's got to overcome is winning in the playoffs. He does that. If he goes and wins a Super Bowl, he's done everything that you can do.
You're talking about him as one of the all-time greats. That's
Yeah, I want to be clear. Like, I love Lamar Jackson. I think he's an unbelievable athlete. I don't think he's a bad passer by any means, a bad passer from the pocket. But I guess what I wonder about, and I'd be really curious to see your response and hear, is he, like, dramatically a better passer in the pocket now with Todd Monken and with experience, or has it been a marginal improvement? How, when you assess from a scouting perspective, a team is somehow able to hem him in, right, which every team tries to do and very unsuccessful, can he carve you up consistently and a lot of the time from the pocket, or is it just some of the time?
No. Well, the thing about it is, Chris, like, when I went to rookie minicamp the year he was drafted, I remember telling Marty Morning, who is the quarterback coach, O coordinator, watching Lamar throw, I said, whoa, got a ways to go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he struggled from the pocket at that time. But, you know, he is much improved, and he is very good. I mean, he's improved a ton from last year to this year, in year two of Todd's offense. And he's given, you know, he is the conductor of the offense now. So he'll beat you from the pocket. I mean, and, you know, watching the Redskins or watching Washington's film, they don't rush the passer very well unless they're blitzing or whatever. And if they're going to help Lamar throw from the pocket, he's got a lot of guys that'll catch it. All you got to do is kind of watch last week's game.
Well, he's got three tight ends. He's got two pretty good receivers. I mean, he's got receivers out of the backfield. We all know that. I guess it's interesting to hear you say that he's made a big jump just from last year, because I did think, Vinny, and correct me if I'm wrong, I did think in year one of Monken's system, he was the best passer, pure passer, that I had seen in his career. Like, I always knew he was really good inside the red zone, carving people up, and I thought, maybe wrongly, that it was because people were petrified of his legs and his ability to break you down that way, and so I saw a big improvement last year, but then I was left with kind of a bad taste in my mouth in that AFC Championship game, granted against Spags and a really good defense.
Yeah,
I mean, he did not have a good game last year, but if Zay Flowers doesn't fumble, they probably win.
Good point.
You know, on that one.
Good point.
So, but the thing about it is he is a lot better, and he's lost like 10 pounds. So, you know, I mean, I think what he did in that Kansas City game, he saw himself get caught. I need to get quicker and faster, and he is quicker and faster. But he is throwing the ball well, because I've seen him, you know, every year that he's been there, OTAs, minicamp, all that stuff, and he has gotten so much better. Yeah. And he's so much more confident in his throwing ability too, I believe, just from watching him throw and the throws that he'll attempt to make.
Yeah, I can agree with you. I think each year, you know, he's continued to evolve as a passer. Their defense, though, Todd, Vinny, has been one of the things that has kind of, you know, I've been taken aback by. Obviously, you lose Mike McDonald to Seattle. I mean, last year they were historically one of the best defenses ever. There is a huge discrepancy right now between their pass defense and their run defense. As someone that watches every game in detail, is that a result of them jumping out on teams and teams not really being able to run the ball? Or do they look at their pass defense and say, hey, this is the way that you beat this group?
No, their defensive line is stout. I mean, Matabike and Travis Jones, they're playing awesome up front. So they're hard, and Roquan Smith, I mean, they're hard to run against. The secondary, it's the same people. Exact same people back there that were there last year. Way too many communication mistakes, and they're not playing the same way they played last year. I think that's why Dean Pease is in here to help. And, Chris, you may remember, I told Harbs, you know, in 1999, we were first in offense, Redskins, 32nd in defense, and brought in Bill Arnsberger to help Mike Nolan, who was also friends with Mike, help run the defense, and we won the NFC East that year and won a playoff game and should have won a second one if our field goal kicker didn't miss a 40-some yard kick at Tampa. You know, so I think Dean Pease will help them a lot.
Yeah, no doubt. And we mentioned that yesterday, Vinny, and I thought that was a key move, as obviously you just alluded to. But specific to the secondary, you mentioned communication problems. Is that a little unusual in your mind, even though they switched coordinators, right, and lost McDonald and lost some other pieces? Is that a little bit unusual that they're having all of these communication issues, or is that more common in the NFL than we even think it is?
To me, week five, no, that's not normal because you haven't corrected them yet. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be having the issues when they shift or move a little bit, you know, and then you got to communicate back and forth. And against Buffalo, the Buffalo, they played their best game. And the only mistake they made was, you know, on a scramble by Josh Allen, he one of the DBs came up instead of staying back on Shakir, and he caught a deep 52-yard pass for a touchdown. You know, so I think they'll be practicing that type stuff a lot this week of, you know, when a quarterback scrambles, how to cover your receiver.
No, guess what? The quarterback scrambles around here, as you know, Vinny, so they're going to have some issues. Just real quickly on that, sorry to jump in, Lena. What do you think of, from your perch, what Cliff Kingsbury has done? I mean, obviously the success is there, but from a schematic, from a design, from a motion standpoint, as you were just kind of like, I love all the eye candy stuff, Vinny, that he unleashes. All, and I think it's designed by formation, not necessarily by motion. What do you think of the job that Cliff Kingsbury has been able to put together through five games so far?
Well, I think the biggest thing that Cliff has done and what has changed, what he's changed, he's running the ball a lot more than he did at Arizona, which, you know, and like when the Ravens were struggling early on, I mean, the O-line was sucked in the first two games. You know, I mean, they were bad.
Right.
And those were the question marks going in. And how do you fix a bad O-line, or how do you help an O-line? You run the football. So, and you throw the ball quickly. And I see, you know, that Cliff's trying to run the football a bunch. I mean, they don't knock people off the ball very well, that offensive line. You know, and he throws the ball quick to get the ball in space to let his receivers get a lot of yak yards. So, I mean, to me, he's you know, playing into – you got to let what your players do best, you know, and let them do what they do. To me, that's good coaching. You know, he's got a running back, Robinson, that runs hard. You know, and he's got an outstanding player in McLaren. Get him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then how do I get these other guys involved, and how do I protect my quarterback where he's not going to get killed?
Yeah, I agree. I think in preparation for both of these teams, we've been saying it. I think they each have a little bit of an advantage because they're both two teams that, you know, get to defend a mobile quarterback each and every day in practice. So I'm excited to see the matchup. You mentioned Baltimore's offensive line. You replace 3/5 of your starters up front. That's a lot of continuity that you lose. Yes, they have improved, But do you have concerns about a specific spot along that offensive line here moving forward when you look at this matchup in particular?
Well, I think Ronnie Stanley is playing really good mm-hmm. at left tackle. And Pat McCary moved over to left guard. He's been playing good. Linderbaum's an all-pro center.
Yep.
And then the guy that's improved a ton is Daniel Falele,
yes.
who at the beginning of the year was horrible, horrible.
Yes, I know that was the narrative.
And he's improved a lot. You know, I mean, I don't know if it was he lost weight or the lights switched on, you know, but he's playing good football right now, and he's not on the ground as much, and he's coming off knocking people, and he's comboing up. And he's pulling and blocking guys better. So, I mean, he's doing well. And Roger Rosengarten, he's okay. You know, he's talented. He's young. He's a year away from being physically ready to play consistently good football in the NFL. But he's a real good athletic player.
Yeah.
And he's much better in the run stuff than he is in the pass. He has some trouble with power in the run or passing stuff. But I think, watching Washington's film, I didn't see any, like, elite rusher. The best rusher they have, my opinion, is number four, the inside
Frankie
linebacker.
Frankie Louvu, you know yeah. what I mean? Dorrance Armstrong at that left defensive end, who's going to probably see a lot of Rosengarten, has really been coming on the last 3 weeks. But you're right, Louvu jumps out all over the place. I mean, whether it's, you know, setting the edge on that fourth down early last week on that little flip toss or, again, and Bobby Wagner's been blitzing a lot too, Vinny, especially on third down, something we talked about yesterday. But you're right on. I mean, obviously they're going to have to That's actually a good question. Like, to me, if you're going to get killed is a strong word. If you're going to get hurt by Lamar and or Derrick Henry, if you're Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn, do you go in with a super aggressive mindset? We're going to blitz the snot out of these guys, run blitz, try and hem them in and take our chances that way? Or do you kind of play a little bit back off, maybe a little spy coverage so that you kind of make them go 8-9 plays? Philosophy-wise, how would you go about it?
Well, I thought the Bengals had an excellent plan. You know, I mean, they were going to take away Henry, and they had like 8 guys up, and then they were trying to confuse Lamar, you know, whether they're coming, not coming and all, but he killed him in the pass game. Mm-hmm. I mean, they struggled running, but then, you know, he threw, 4 touchdown passes and over 300 yards. And then at the end, you know, when they're kind of worn down, then they ran the ball.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, they're the number one offense in the league, and they can do both. And Lamar causes you a lot. And they, like you guys were talking, they got 3 tight ends. They got 3 receivers. Oh, yeah. They got a bunch of guys that can catch the ball. So they're difficult to handle. And, I mean, Washington's giving up 5.1 per rush. So
yeah.
That's going to be difficult. And they give up a quarterback rating of like 115.
They have gotten better the last couple of weeks is what I would say.
Let Chris tell. Let Chris tell.
Deshaun Watson's the worst quarterback.
Yeah, that's true. I'm about to say, man.
I mean, he was running into sack. Sack me. Sack me. And some of the throws he was making, it was like, who are you throwing
it
to?
No, that's true. Make sure you listen to our guest, Vinny Serrato, with Bob Haney, weekdays 10 to 2 on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore on the Odyssey app. What did you want to say?
I wanted to get one more in. Vinny, I feel like we have you in a more bubbly mood now. I hope I didn't offend you with my question.
Well, you're trying
earlier.
To sabotage the interview right away.
I'm being real,
right
brother.
Away.
Look, Vinny, I was going to ask you this because people are tweeting at me like a madman. Can in full transparency, if you don't mind, one decision that was made here while you were in Washington that made you want to bang your head against the wall?
When we were in the draft and we had a second round pick, and Dan, he said to me, he said, who are you going to take? I said, I'm taking Jamal Charles. He said, why? I said, Dan, I said, if a DB steps the wrong way, it's a touchdown.
Mm.
He said, well, think about it. I said, okay. And he came back a few minutes later. What are you going to do? I said, I'm going to take Jamal Charles. Then when we get on the clock, he says, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to take Jamal Charles. He said, no, you're not.
What?
Taking a wide receiver.
So that was Devin Thomas, Malcolm Kelly, and Fred Davis second trifecta in the second round, right?
Yep.
So you wanted to take Jamal Charles. You were ready to do that on the clock, and he overruled you.
Yep.
Like he, like how much damn tape did his ass watch? Vinny, you a better man than me. I would have knocked him out.
I mean, that's tough because, you know, it's hard to build an organization. I mean, it's hard enough to get these calls right if you have a conviction about a guy,
right.
As you know, Vinny, right? I mean, there's a lot of different opinions, a lot of different ways you can view tape. It's really hard to get it right if you have a conviction about a guy, never mind if you have somebody who's not watching the tape, who's not in the meetings, who's not on boots on the ground, basically stepping in and, as Jay Gruden once said, coming off the yacht and overruling you.
Coming off the yacht.
Yep. Lou Holtz always used to say, coaches coach, players play, administrators administrate.
There you go.
There you go. Appreciate you, man.
Well, Vinny, appreciate you. Thanks for doing this. I know you just did 4 hours of radio, so sorry to keep you a little bit long, but great to catch up with you. And we'll be listening, of course, Monday through Friday, 10 to 2, on the Odyssey app, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. I appreciate you, okay?
Thanks,
Vinny. All right,
Vinny.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go. That is Vinny Serrato. Good spot with him.
Glad he didn't jump through the phone and kick my ass.
I thought he was about to.
Look, I told you. There's no gloves radio.
I understand
what you
were trying to do. I always say this. There's different ways to ask hard questions.
Yeah, and the second time, I learned.
Yes, yes.
I'm
there
improving
you go.
Every week like Jaden Daniels.
But Vinny, Vinny's taking his share of heat, I'm sure, and... Listen, here's the bottom line. Everybody knows it didn't go well enough, but to his point, 99, the Joe Gibbs years.
Can I read this tweet from our guy, Athan in Annapolis, mm-hmm. who, by the way, has made the
team.
We got to
take a timeout, though. Yeah.
Athan in Annapolis says, quote, Vinny destroyed the 49ers and they came here and did it not once but twice. Schottenheimer fired him and then Snyder brought him back. Don't forget to ask about the two number one picks he wanted to trade for Chad Johnson. That would have been a good trade. Y'all sleep on Ocho Cinco, man. Chad Johnson is a Hall of Famer.
Ocho Cinco was great.
Chad Johnson being a Hall of Famer when he was healthy.
Sure.
He could play.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I did want to ask him about was the Portis Champ Bailey trade.
Yeah.
Was it Portis for Champ Bailey and a second round pick?
I don't remember.
I believe. And Portis obviously had some really, really good years
here. Dr. Dewich big.
But,
I loved his running style, man. He was like. He was like Le'Veon Bell before Le'Veon mm-hmm. Bell.
No doubt. But interesting story about Jamaal Charles and being overruled by by one of the receivers, either Devin Thomas or Malcolm Kelly. We didn't exactly clarify that. We got to take a timeout. Come on back. Just after 2:30, we'll get into what Jaden Daniels said about being compared to Lamar Jackson. We'll do that coming up. Stay tuned.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, once again, thanks to Vinny Serrato for joining us. Listen, I mean, again.
Thanks for letting me, get a couple of the heavy hitters in there, man. I mean, I thought after that first one I asked him that you were going to muzzle my mic.
Did you think I was – because you're saying I was asking soft questions?
I mean, darn, are you guys going to go out for tea and crumpets later after your shows are over?
Maybe.
This is Vincent Serrato.
A couple of natty bows and half smokes?
Like Athan said, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like – he was just so handcuffed by Dan Snyder. Well, he gave us an example of how he was.
I mean,
he kind of was.
I mean, listen.
Did he want to give?
There were
was
a lot
part of the regime that gave $100 million to Albert. Was that Bruce?
Yeah, that was them.
And then made him play in a defense that didn't fit the scheme.
There was no defense that Albert Haynesworth was going to be happy in.
Why?
Because when he came here, it was a 4-3. Then Jim Haslett, Mike Shanahan switched it to a 3-4.
And they shouldn't have did that. That's stupid. He has never been a nose tackle. He is a 3 technique. You don't ask a 3 technique to go play
you
nose.
You don't run your organization around stupid Albert Haynesworth.
When you're going to pay someone $100 million, they didn't decide to do that.
They inherited that.
So to switch it after doing that is stupid. On Mike Shanahan's
behalf.
So you should
just run your defense based on
you know
a previous
how big of
investment.
A difference it is being a 3-tech and a 4-3.
Of course
and a nose
I know. Of course
a 3-4.
I know.
It's a huge difference.
So you should just say, you know what? I don't want to do a 3-4. I mean, I really want to do a 3-4 because that's what everybody successful was doing. That's what Pittsburgh was doing. That's what New England was doing.
We didn't have
that's
the linebackers to play that defense, ever.
You're building to that. You're
Brian
building
Arakpo
to that.
Dropping, and then proceeded to draft Arakpo and Kerrigan like dumbasses.
Oh, we can sit here and relitigate a lot of mistakes.
I mean, come on. They did some stupid stuff. Shanahan, y'all look at him like he's some damn wizard. Their defensive idea with that group, and they had talent on that side of the ball if they were running a 4-3, but to ask Kerrigan and Arakpo and Andre Carter for crying out loud to drop in the coverage.
That was even worse than the Hainsworth.
I mean, good gracious.
Okay. I'm not telling you that it wasn't.
I had
they
a
would
lot of
tell
disdain
you
for
it
Vinny.
Was going to take 2 to 3 years.
My childhood.
They would tell you it was going to take 2 to 3 years to turn over that defense. And damn it, what do you know? In 2012, down the stretch, their defense was helping
turnover
carry
machine.
Them.
That's because they got guys like who had the punt return? The DB that had the punt return.
Brandon Maddox.
Richard Crawford.
Richard Crawford.
Played really
overtime
good.
Overtime in that Baltimore game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, thanks to Vinny Serrato for joining us right there. We've got to make the quick turn to 2:30. But here, real quickly, I just wanted to throw this out. So, Lamar Jackson obviously has been, you want to call him a trendsetter, whatever you want to call him. You know, you heard Vinny say he's gotten way, way, way better, and he's even improved from last year to this year. And you see some of that when you watch the tape, right? I also see really bad throws, but maybe I'm too hard of a grader. So that's what Vinny said. Somebody who watches him snap in, snap out, somebody who's obviously evaluated talent and been in NFL front office. I'm not disputing that by any means. Jaden Daniels says, you know what? I don't want anything to do with the comparisons to Lamar Jackson. I'm different. I'm not Lamar. Like, and yet, everybody understands how that could absolutely be true. But the question is, should Jaden just embrace it and allow people to kind of make whatever comparisons they want, to think whatever they want to think? And just do what you do.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to explore with you next after a quick trending alert. And then we will get to your calls finally right here on the Team 980. All right, indeed. Thursday night football is trending, and it is on the Team 980 tonight, beginning at 7:30 for the pregame. Westwood One Odyssey app as well. The San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks up at Lumen Field in Seattle. Big game for both. Seattle off the disappointing blown game against the Giants, who were hamstrung with all sorts of injuries. San Francisco has been battling all sorts of injuries all year. They also blew one against Arizona and Kyler Murray. So two desperate teams clashing tonight at 8:15, 7:30, the coverage right here on the Team 980. Commanders wrapping up the practice day. We will have Jeremy Chin join us at about 3:15 right here on the Team 980 as he is getting set to go against, well, one more game before he gets to go against his former team, the Carolina Panthers. Next Sunday, it's this Sunday, the Baltimore Ravens. We just talked to Vinny Serrato. If you missed that, hit the Odyssey Rewind or go check it out on the podcast after the show. Baseball playoffs, American League only today. Two elimination games. Detroit looking for the dagger against the Cleveland Guardians. Up 2-1, 6:08, first pitch in Detroit. And Kansas City tries to stave off the Yankees, who are up 2-1, 8:08, first pitch in KC. And that's what's trending.
We'll get out to your calls in a second here at 301-230-0980. I'm going to use every moment to bring the show back while you go and fill up whatever red beverage you have here. You shouldn't be allowed to drink red drinks when you wear certain attires because you're like a big kid. You might spill it and ruin your fit.
It's sugar-free Crystal Light, number one.
Oh, God, Chris.
And it's just in a Trader Joe's sparkling water bottle without the cap that I so conveniently left in my car. So I can't shake it up. I can't stir it up. So I just got to drink it as is.
I like to stir and shake things up.
I know.
You can.
I know.
You absolutely can. It's ill-advised. You're going to get it everywhere.
You get like red thumb.
I mean.
If you're like, you know.
I know what you're trying to do. Don't do it in the studio.
I might ruin the wheel of misfortune over here that Craig Hoffman left behind.
Go over and do it in the junkie studio.
You mean he left the wheel of misfortune in our way?
I mean, believe it or not, other people than you leave things in our way. You could get an ice bath. You could do extra hot wings. I don't know what a costume show is.
Doing the show in a costume. Good gracious. Oh, okay. Here's your context
costumed clues show. Okay.
There's no D on the end.
I don't know just what extra costume. I mean, like, I don't know if extra hot wings would be like suicidal or like
I don't think there's a wing hot enough that would make you want to take your life, Chris. You just said okay.
Not,
never mind.
Not
so they like to do it on
there's
air.
Like suicidal sauce, like
the
labels.
Real hot one. No, yeah. they do like one below the real hot because they do it on air, so they don't want somebody actually dying on air.
Yeah, like Brian Mitchell, he tried to kill me, making me eat that damn hot sauce. Probably wished I would have croaked over, didn't he?
So that explains things. All right.
Don't you love how good of a sport I am?
Well,
I make it fun.
Sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I wonder. Anyway,
thank you
let's
for
get...
accusing me of losing my mind.
When you see what I have to deal with, when you see what I have to deal with. All right, so let's get to this. So Jaden Daniels yesterday said, look, all of these questions, all of these comparisons, I'm not him, right? In terms of Lamar Jackson. And that's okay. He's not. He's right. He's not. He's a fan of Lamar Jackson, but he's not Lamar Jackson, right? And his point was, overall, like, we're different quarterbacks. He said, I don't like when people try to compare me to Lamar. We're two different players. I want to be known as Jaden Daniels and not the next such and such. Now, see, personally, me, I totally get what he's saying. I totally understand. Some people love comps. Some people don't love comps, right? If somebody said to me, well you sound like, Mike Francesa, I would be like, well, yeah, I could see how you might think that.
You sound
for
nothing
those that,
like Mike Francesa.
Huh?
You sound nothing like him, by the way.
I'm just saying if people like, because we're bigger, you know, people and we're loud and we're New Yorkers and we're obnoxious and, you know, whatever. Somebody might say, man, you sound like Mike Francesa. I would be annoyed by that comp. I don't feel like I sound like Mike Francesa. I don't feel like we're the same person, right?
Yeah.
I'm allowed to have that opinion. Jaden Daniels is certainly allowed to have that feeling and that opinion. God. However,
I feel you're about to put your foot in your mouth.
I wish he wouldn't have said it.
Who
just
cares?
From the standpoint of that's exactly the point. He should not care that people are comparing him to Lamar Jackson. Let your play, let your career, let everything that you do on the football field show how that you are different. Not that you don't have similarities, but that you are different. Be the best damn pocket quarterback from day one, as opposed to it taking 5 or 6 years to grow into that, like it basically did for Lamar.
I mean, you and your backhanded Lamar comments this afternoon have been beyond me. I mean, you... What do you? We're talking about Jaden in this comment.
Yes,
I'm not
we
even
going to
get on your Lamar Jackson commentary. I mean, you
know,
sound like a fool.
I know you don't like honesty.
Hey, it's not honesty. I don't know how you can watch anyone that says Lamar Jackson can't throw from the pocket or is not a good pocket passer doesn't watch. And like that's what it's giving. I sound like one of the kids. It's giving. But no, I don't have an issue with it.
You think Lamar is Tom Brady from the pocket.
I didn't say he was Tom Brady, but I actually was very specific. I think he's a top 10 passer in the league from the pocket. I think he's a top 8. I may give him top 5 from the pocket. The different arm angles that he throws from, the way he throws and hangs in there while getting hit. It doesn't get much better than him.
Okay.
But as far as Jaden's comments, yeah, I liked it. Don't compare me to Lamar Jackson. I'm not Lamar Jackson. I'm a better passer than Lamar Jackson. He took the high road.
Wait a second.
He took the high road.
If Lamar is as great as you think he is from the pocket, that must mean Jaden.
He is. Have I not
been way better than Lamar, right?
Not way better, but he's better right now relative to how much experience Lamar has had. He is better than him if we're grading it off of that. But I don't have a problem with it. I actually like Jaden doing that because I do think he is very well aware, and this is going to piss you off because you don't like branding and me, guys. I don't want to be compared to Lamar Jackson because I want to be Jaden Daniels. I want to be the 5 car. I want to be known as the most prolific dual threat quarterback in the NFL. And I don't know if you saw this, but Jaden Daniels is going to be like Lamar Jackson in one way, sooner rather than later. His mom, currently in the midst of being certified as an NFL agent. So she's going to be his agent.
Jaden Daniels'
mother right now
is going to be...
Yes, there's a big article that was put out.
So he's going to...
He's going to be represented by his mom.
Basically move on from those guys that caused the hellstorm before the draft.
Yes, he's going to be represented by his mother. Yep, she's right now in the process.
I wonder what those guys are thinking now.
About that?
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be something that becomes more common throughout the league.
I would agree.
Why the hell do you have to... We're out here trying to create generational wealth for our family. Why I got to break off Ryan Williams and Athletes First, who has nothing to do with this process, who hasn't helped me out at all. He's really done nothing but hurt Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is going to get drafted number two overall based off the tape, right? When you're dealing with guys in the top five like him, the benefit of the agent is more so endorsements and stuff like that. He's going to get selected high because of the person.
Yeah, but it's also, again, a good agent, because I know several of them. A good agent is going to give you good, sound advice.
For sure.
A good agent is going to say, hey, man, listen, I know you're frustrated. I know you want your money. Show up.
Yeah.
Show them why they're wrong. Show up. A bad agent, you know, I'll go one step further. Like, I don't like everything that Deron Payne does, okay? Some of it annoys the bleep out of me.
What are you talking about, social media?
Yeah, but you know what Deron Payne did when he wanted his money and when he was coming off an 11.5 sack year? He showed up every day.
Yeah.
He didn't participate in team drills.
Yeah, he loves ball.
But he participated in individuals, and he was there every day. And then he got paid, okay? And I'm not – so you think I'm opposed to players getting paid. I'm not opposed to players.
I didn't say that.
I'm opposed to dummies doing dumb things.
And I agree with you.
Okay?
I'm also opposed
to
that.
So, to me, Deron Payne handled it right. Okay, he was here. Now, you know, you can make the argument that Brandon Ayuk handled his situation right. I wouldn't make that argument, but you can handle, argue, you know, different things. Either way, bottom line, maybe Lamar and Jaden will be different. But for me, this is my point. I think you're way, 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 way over the top effusive with your praise on Lamar from the pocket in terms of his ability to... I think the success he has gotten better through the years, experience, right?
That's just like
there's
any
no doubt about
Chris.
That. I think Todd Monken has helped him. I don't want to say it was all Todd Monken, by no means. I can't say that. It wasn't. I think some better weapons, even though they're still not great, has helped him. I think, but I also think the big difference between Jaden and Lamar is that, again, I think Lamar needs the play extension and the absolute dagger that his legs bring. I do not believe that Jaden Daniels, while he certainly benefits from it, I don't believe he needs it. I think Lamar needs it. I don't think Jaden needs it. Does that make sense? I mean, like, you're sitting me here killing me, thinking I'm so harsh on Lamar.
If Lamar
didn't have the wheels that he has and the ability to absolutely break you down, if Lamar didn't have that, would he be a great pocket passer? Or would he be a mediocre? Would he be Justin Fields?
And if my grandfather didn't have an Adam's apple, he'd be my grandmother. Oh. I mean, you can't play that game.
Okay, but I'm playing the game. It's a hype. We're having a conversation.
I'm putting on my Doc Walker hat.
Oh, God.
But no, I see what you're saying, but I still do think he would have success. Yeah, he can beat you from the pocket, Chris. He's got arm talent, ball placement. Like, he's got a special arm.
Lamar can beat you from the pocket with no threat of the run consistently all the time.
I don't think
if
that was the, how do you know either way?
Because
if that was the scenario.
Because I've watched him his whole career.
When has he not had his legs?
He's gotten better and better.
He's never not had his legs.
No, I understand
so
that.
You can't
but
that.
when teams have been smart enough to hem him in and to
don't
corner
you think
him
that's
in,
that's the game plan that everybody
sure,
constructs.
But when they've
them,
executed it, that's the difference.
When they've
players since, execute
since,
or they don't execute.
Chris, did you watch
you
Sunday?
You give credit and blame to the coaches for everything.
Chris, did you watch
I give
Sunday?
Credit and blame to the players.
They did a really good job Sunday hemming him in, and he still
yes,
torched
I understand that
from within the pocket.
I understand that coming from behind, he had a great game. Congratulations.
He played well, man. He had 55 yards rushing.
My point is can he do that all the time? Can he do that on the red? I don't think he can. I think Jaden Daniels can.
I think they both can. I think Lamar's I'm not a subscriber of the he can't win from the pocket thing. That's just not. I, I can't. I can't engage with them.
How many, what percentage would you say Lamar Jackson could win, quote-unquote, from the pocket? Like, if somebody was giving you 100% pie,
when
right?
you say winning from the pocket, like, what does that mean?
Again, you're
Because how many quarterbacks
you're not listening to me.
When a, in 2024?
Okay, when a player... In 2024, I mean, I would say it's less because offenses are different.
Lamar is becoming more the traditional norm at the position.
In my formative years, I would see Tom Brady, Peyton Manning,
the
Eli
game
Manning.
Has changed.
I understand
so
that.
So much since
I understand that. I get it. But you like. Let me put it to you this way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Tua Tagovailoa is a super mobile quarterback?
No, think he's the biggest system quarterback in the NFL.
Okay, but can he carve you up from the pocket without being super mobile? Yes. Is Joe Burrow as mobile as he used to be? No. But a little sprinkle. But
Beans
but,
can run, man.
Right, but he mostly carves you up from the pocket,
I think,
right?
Lamar can play that way, and Lamar does play that way. For like when he needs to, he does. When they ask him
again,
to, he
100%,
does.
Right? If you said a team executes their ability mm-hmm. to hem him in – As close to perfect
as
you can.
Don't let him outside of the tackle box.
Right.
How much can he win from within the tackle box?
Yeah.
Is what you're asking.
Yes. Like, basically.
Because the pocket, you can move the pocket,
sure.
right?
But the tackle would you say it's 100% of the time he's going to stick a dagger in your back? Would you say it's
75% of the time? I'd say about 80-85% of the time he's gonna stick you.
Okay. I think that's high. I think it's probably more like, I don't know, 65-70% of the time. I mean, I've seen some of the throws on tape in my tape study. I mean, he has missed guys by 10 feet.
Guys miss
Jaden missed Zach Ertz by 10 feet.
It happens.
Yeah, okay, but it's happened once. Maybe it's twice.
Come on.
Maybe I'm a little harder on Lamar than I need to be.
Come on. I mean, seriously. Good gracious. I mean, how often could you win from the pocket?
All right. We got to take a timeout, and then we'll get to your calls. I know. We just got a lot going on, and then we have these
Didn't
arguments.
Didn't we say you
Even
weren't
going
to apologize for not getting to the fans? I thought we coached you out of this in our pre-show meeting. We even invited Doc.
We got a lot of guys on hold.
Yeah, because it's the hottest ticket in town. It's the YIC times the caged animal times the madman behind the glass. I'm a Team 980 in the Odyssey app.
All right, we're going to squeeze in a call here, but first, I just want to point this out. A good friend of mine is saying that I'm calling this the Battle of the DMV. If I said that, shoot me now, because I don't believe I've said that.
Now, you've said some dumbass things.
Yeah.
I don't think you've said
that. I don't believe I've said that, but if I've said that and somebody's got it, I mean, by all means, like, because I know. It's the Battle of the Beltways. That's what we call the baseball rivalry. If there is one between the Nationals and the Orioles,
that doesn't exist.
I don't even think we've called it that this week. I don't think we've called this in any other way other than a 3-2 team and a 5-4-1 team. That's it, and just a good football game. But you know, people hear things differently. Let's get to DC and DC. Huh. How about that? How do you like them apples? What's up, DC?
DC in the DMV.
Oh, this is a great day, Linnell. Great day, Chris. How you doing?
What's going on,
What's
brother?
Up, DC? How are you, pal?
Oh, man, I'm very well. I just wanted to get to the discussion about Jaden saying he doesn't like the comparison of him and Lamar. Even though, you know, you people don't want to hear the battle of the DMV and all that, we know that's not the case. Just like we know that Jaden and Lamar are two different people. Even though they may have the same attributes, they don't play the game the same style. Their styles are totally different. And Russell, it was funny because I even heard you say, Lamar does this and does that, but Jaden doesn't. Like, Lamar's game, he uses his legs a little more, and Jaden uses basically his processing of what he sees.
No, that is what I said. I think Jaden's better in the pocket. I think if you took away Jaden's legs, his ability to extend plays and break teams down that way, and just put him in the pocket, mm-hmm. and that's why I kept going after Linnell and saying from the pocket only. If you essentially take away their ability to extend and break down teams with their legs, who's the better pocket passer? And it's to me, it's Jaden Daniels.
And I agree. So how can you be upset with him when he says he doesn't like the comparison because I'm not upset.
I just said I wish he hadn't said it, because I don't want him to put any pressure on himself. Like, just be cool as a cucumber, man. Yep. Just like, people want to call you Lamar Jr., let people call you Lamar Jr. People want to say you remind them of Lamar Jackson, fine, man. Just go out and do your thing. Don't worry about it. That's all. I wasn't mad.
But historically, we can go all the way back to college in Alabama. When pressure is on him, he performs, right?
Yes, true. That's fair.
So why not? He's being honest. And if it brings pressure to him, as he says, he doesn't really pay attention to the media. I like the way the whole team is no longer paying attention to the media. They're paying attention to themselves more than the media. And I respect it. I appreciate him being honest.
That's good point.
For sure.
Good call. Thank you, DC. Appreciate you. I'll tell you what we're going to do. To be fair to everybody, we're going to take a timeout, get back on track. 3 o'clock is coming. We got to hit the break, and then we'll get one round of phone calls in. Jeremy Chin will join us at about 3:15 or so on the other side on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.